Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go.
Let's do it, Mass.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Pablo.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
Cheeseburgers.
I got to get out. Get me some of those rays.
Large fry.
Everybody's smiling.
Onion
sunshine day. Everybody's laughing.
Cheeseburger.
Sunshine
cheeseburger.
Day.
Coke.
Everybody seems
just pet
so happy today. It's a sunshine day.
How about a Sunday? Why does he do that to you, Paul? Why does he do that to you every time? Paul Perillo.
He's a fundamentally bad person.
Patriots.com, sunshine.com. Joining us via Zoom, as we all do nowadays. How you doing, Pablo?
I'm doing great. And I just want to give you real quick before we get into this. I thought it was interesting that call that brought up the home field stuff. And I actually did do some of the numbers on it this week. There was one week two home teams were 12-4. And that's why they have a winning record. Otherwise, Maz is exactly right. 8-8 in the first week, 6-9-1 last week. So clearly road teams are having an easier time of it than normal. 26-21-1 the home teams are. And most years, I think last year there may have been a similar record in the first 3 weeks, but most years it's a much higher winning percentage than that. So I think you've seen the effects of having no fans in the stands.
Thank you. I mean, it's obvious just watching the games, especially the dome teams. You know, I think that the only advantage you have as a dome team is that crowd noise, which can just be, it can be a real factor. And I think those teams are hurt more by it than anyone else. I mean, so, and I think the Patriots, you know, had a better shot in Seattle, and I think they have a better shot this week with the crowd. Would you agree with that? Without the crowd, you know, even though they allow what, like
17,000, I think it is.
Yeah, there'll be some people, but I agree. It's not going to be Arrowhead that we know of, you know, that we know, and certainly won't be that sort of hostile environment. And every guy, every national guy, they still refer to that, refer to it that way. It's just not the same. Mike, you're absolutely right. And I know that home teams have won, but you can't tell me that it's the same. You know, the home field advantage is not as big. I mean, Gillette Stadium, I know that's not considered to be the most, you know, hostile environment, even in the best of times, but it was like a library on Sunday. There was just no buzz at all in the stands.
It won't take them long to break into the Tomahawk Chop in Kansas City. We know that.
All right. So we'll circle back to Patriots Chiefs here in a second. First, Paul, I want your thoughts on the suspension of the Titans game and how that whole story has played out this week.
Yeah, it's been interesting, and it seems as if, and I don't have all the latest information, but the fact that there are no positive tests in Minnesota, the last I saw, I think that has to be considered a good sign that maybe we're not going to lose, you know, multiple games here, and I think that we might be able to get this Tennessee game played on Monday night, and I think if that's the case, and, you know, at least for now, you dodge that bullet, because I think we're all sort of holding our breath wondering what happens when, okay, one team gets four or five, and then they play another team, and then they end up infecting that team, and that's how it spreads. And all of a sudden, you get three, four, five teams affected, and that certainly has an impact in the season. Mike, I think your point about baseball is certainly right on because, yeah, I mean, baseball got by, and they did things, but you can't tell me it's the same when the Cardinals played I don't know how many doubleheaders.
Insane.
And teams didn't play the same amount of games, and then some teams are playing seven-inning games, and you know, when you're only playing 60, and I don't know, did the Cardinals play five, six doubleheaders?
Oh, well, no, like 12 or 14.
I think it was more than that, Paul. Yeah,
I undersold it. Yeah, that's a significant part of your schedule, you know, when that you're playing not regulation games. So I think, you know, obviously none of us wants to see that in the NFL, and hopefully they dodged a bullet.
So would you put forfeitures on the table? Would you put, you know, if things got real sticky, if, you know, if they couldn't play this Monday night, would you extend the season in January? Would you have forfeitures? What would you do?
Yeah, I would look to see if you could you know, work it into a bye week. And if obviously if that's not the case, I guess you could have one mulligan at the end of the year. But if you have a team that has to miss two or three games during the course of the year, then I'm kind of with you guys. I think it's unfortunate, but I think you have to call them forfeits. I don't know how you can sort of, reconfigure the entire schedule just to benefit, one team that, was affected. But it's not ideal. Obviously, we're all trying to figure this out as we go because no one's ever been through this before.
I just counted it quickly, just out of curiosity. 10 doubleheaders.
I mean,
10.
They don't need...
That's a third of the season.
So they construct their team differently than teams playing nine-inning ball games. Like,
yeah,
it's, right. It's apples and oranges.
20 of their games are seven-inning games. 20 out of 60.
Ridiculous.
It's a joke.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I don't think the NFL wants to get to a situation where, everybody plays 16 games except for these, these three teams got forfeits, so they only had to play 15, and I don't think you want to get into that situation. So I think that, to me, is the last resort.
So I also think there should be a consideration to were the teams following protocols or not. If a team was being responsible and it's just bad luck because it happens, like there's no guarantees, then, that's one thing. If you're blatantly violating protocols, like I think the Raiders might have been doing here, then I treat that differently as well. And Paul, I just want to ask you, are you in the building every day or do you just go on Sunday? Are you still, you Zoom us from home. Are you still remote? I mean, are you there around every day enough to know how tight they are there at Gillette?
No, I'm there basically 3 days a week plus game day. And we do our stuff in the radio studio, but I am not tiered to be around the players. And, some people are, even some people in my department are. They're, they have, and they're tested regularly just like the players are. And so I'm there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then on game day, we do our radio shows. We're in a different part of the building. We're not allowed to be anywhere near where the players' areas are. Obviously, no one's in the locker room, but even with the areas where the players are congregating for meetings and whatnot, those are all off limits. It is pretty tight. I think that even in our radio studio, much like yours that we see on TV, we have the plexiglass set up and all that thing. The part that's hard for me, and I think it's sort of easy, Mike, to use the Raiders, and you guys know a lot more about this charity thing than I do. But, I mean, that would certainly seem to be, kind of an unwise decision to have your entire team out, in a banquet hall, even though it was probably for, with the best of intentions. It wasn't probably a wise move, but what happens when these players go home and they're doing the right thing? And, maybe, their spouses or their children are out and someone, they're all doing the right thing, but then they're exposed to someone who doesn't do the right thing. And I don't know how you draw the line to exactly which team contracted it by being reckless and which team did everything they could to stay healthy, but didn't. And, like I said, it's just something that we've never been through before. I think it's hard to necessarily make, hard and fast rules about.
Okay, you want to weigh in on this? You can out there at 617-779-0985. Meanwhile, Paul, how do you feel about your football team?
Well, the thing I liked the best about the game on Sunday was, they didn't need Cam Newton to be a star. They didn't need to hit him to be, the savior and the single focal point of the offense. He didn't play very well Sunday. He didn't throw the ball well really at all, I didn't think, in the four quarters. And he wasn't much of a factor running the ball either. He had that one scramble late in the game when the game was already decided. But beyond that, it was ground and pound, 250 yards. This is the number one rushing team in the NFL right now. And I think we've sort of seen a formula of how they want to have success and what their best avenue for success is. And that's to get the running game going. It wasn't successful early. They stayed with it. The turnovers that the Raiders had allowed them to stay with it. And before you knew it, they were unstoppable for the last three quarters.
Paul, would you think of Sony Michel, and is there a direct correlation to be drawn between how he ran before and after J.J. Did I get that right? J.J. Taylor get into the game?
J.J. Taylor. Yeah, I mean, that's a common refrain that we've had on our shows, Patriots Unfiltered, during the week. People feel like that lit a spark under Michel, but, maybe it did, and I don't know, how Sony was feeling on the sideline and discussing it, but I just think that Sony's been under fire here for a while. And it would be strange to me that all of a sudden this was the week that J.J. Taylor went in, had an 8-yard run, and that sort of, kick-started Sony Michel. I think the offensive line was outstanding in this game once they got settled in. I think they struggled a little bit early. You move Tooney inside, you have a Wenyu at left guard. And I think it took a little while, but once they got settled, the second half, I thought they were just killing people up front. And I heard
Dominant.
I heard Greg talking about Jermaine Illumina's block yesterday. And I don't know if you guys went back and saw it, but it almost defied physics. Like he blocked three guys on one play. It was really an exceptional play. I thought those guys up front were the key to victory. That's the best part of this team right now is the offensive line.
Yeah, but Paul, I see Devin Asiasi as part of that. I see him out there blocking Dalton Keene. He can't get on the field due to injury. So is it too soon to call these rookie tight ends busts?
What happened to you?
Good job, Jim.
What happened, Jim? Why are you so sad?
Why do you think, Paul?
Fair question.
Guess. Because his buddy boy is down in Tampa playing grab ass.
We all have to move on. We all have to move on. And
I thought you were going to say that we corrupted
him. Part of the passing game at all, right? We haven't even seen him be targeted yet. So I have to think that his assimilation to the offense has maybe been a little slow, and they're trying to get him up to speed. Dalton Keene, I think, is more of a physical thing, and I'm not exactly sure. I haven't had anybody been able to tell me, and I've asked a couple of people, and I haven't had anything definitive about a neck injury. You know, every time you deal with a neck and you wonder, is it something significant? You know, James Devlin, I think, ultimately retired because of a neck injury. And you hope it's nothing serious like that that would keep him out. But we haven't seen really anything of him, you know, and certainly he hasn't been active in any of the games yet. But I do think that is a step that this offense could make, is maybe trying to get some of those tight ends involved in the passing game a little bit more often.
All right, Paul. So you said, you know, you saw the formula for the Patriots, weeks 1 and 3, really, and the ground and pound and the ground game and all of that. Can you beat Kansas City playing that way?
Well, I think you can, but I think you'd need some help from Kansas City. I think this is it's obviously a tough matchup. I'm not telling you anything you guys don't already know. Kansas City has already proven that they don't need the ball for long stretches of time to put a lot of points on the board. And I think that what the Patriots will try to do in conjunction with running the ball, guys, is maybe try to entice Kansas City into running it a little bit too, and do one of those things. Say, hey, Andy Reid, you want to hand the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire? We'll give you 100 yards for him. No problem. Go right ahead and take it. Maybe make Kansas City take a little bit longer to score than they're accustomed to. Maybe they get frustrated. Maybe they turn the ball over. You look at the, I don't think the Patriots defense has played particularly well in the first 3 weeks. I think they've been okay, but they continue to take the ball away at an alarming rate. It's three more takeaways on Sunday, and those were huge plays in the game, especially the first two. I thought that the way the game started, I thought the Raiders easily could have had a 2-score lead.
Oh, yeah.
But instead, you know, really the Patriots were never in trouble because they kept taking the ball away. And I think if the Chiefs do that, I almost called them the Colts because I feel like this is one of those old Colts games.
Well,
I think if the Chiefs turn the ball over, that's an immediate way to keep the Patriots in it.
And the whole Colts thing, you know, if you gave Peyton Manning the run, he would take it.
Absolutely.
You know, because he's great at reading defenses, and if you have a light box, he's going to pound your light box, and that's just what he's going to do. Is Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid built the same way?
I think that they'll run it, but they won't. I don't think they'll fall into the trap of running it too much. And I think sometimes Peyton did that and put himself in some third down situations as a result, which in turn says to the Patriots defense, now we only need to make one play to get off the field as opposed to three. You know how I feel, Mike. Personally, if I had Patrick Mahomes and all those weapons, I'd throw it virtually every down say, there's no way you're stopping me three in a row. I'm going to get a first down. That's the way I would go after these. You know, if I was that good offensively, that's the way I would approach it. But you know, sometimes these coaches, they just sort of force themselves to do, quote unquote, the right thing. And I think sometimes even when you do the right thing, it gets you in some trouble.
Reed wants a throw.
He does.
And the other thing is, you know, with the way he designs an offense, you can have eight guys, you know, eight defensive backs on the field if you want, and he'll still find the open guy. I mean, he'll still get someone open is my point.
Okay, your thoughts, Patriots thoughts with Paul Prillo at 617-779-0985. To you right after this.
Felger and Mats on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Okay, when you call and say three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger, Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I saw Patrick Mahomes putting on a clinic out there. Easy work of the Ravens. So with that being said, Max, who is a threat to this Chiefs team in the AFC?
In the NFL, really, because with the money on the line, I don't like anyone better than Patrick Mahomes with a great coach and a great offense and a defense that can stiffen up when they need to. But if I had to pick a team in the AFC, I'm going to take the Patriots. Everyone lamented the lack of weapons that Brady didn't have. He didn't have the weapons on offense. In fact, part of that is true last year. Part of it is that he's not a dual threat quarterback as Cam is, which can make your weapons better because there's a threat of the run from the quarterback. And part of it is it's not just drafting, because Belichick's been criticized at times for his draft, certain picks. It's also development. It's draft and development. The reason the Patriots are so good always is because it's not just the draft. They then develop players. So let's look at a couple of the players that have been developing, and we've seen it this year. N'Keal Harry, right? That was a bust. Well, maybe it's not going to be a bust. Maybe not. The way, like, you see signs, you take all that, and then you have Belichick as coach. They have one loss on the season, and it was a great goal line stand by the Seahawks, who everyone says is a top three team in the NFL right now. And they beat the Patriots by the skin of their teeth. So I think in the end, a Belichick-coached team with developing offensive players and a dynamic quarterback is probably the best shot that anyone's going to have against the Chiefs in the AFC.
Max, I'm going to completely agree with you on that. Because of the coaching of Bill Belichick, figuring out a way to somewhat neutralize you and give your team a chance to win the game, to be in it.
That's just for you, Paul. Little first take. Both Kellerman and Stephen A. Biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs, the New England Patriots, because of Bill Belichick. Agree or disagree?
I don't know if they're the biggest. Go ahead. I know. I effed up. Sorry, I forgot about the guest.
I'm not there yet. I'm not. Obviously, I could change my mind if the Patriots went out to Kansas City and did what they have done so many times to these high flying offenses. But I haven't really seen Belichick do that to Patrick Mahomes yet. So until that really happens, I'm not going to assume it's going to happen. I think Baltimore has flaws, and you've seen the style of game that they've yet to prove that they can win. And it happened again Monday night. They fall behind. They sort of get out of their game plan with the run, and Lamar Jackson's not a good enough passer to get it done. And, until that changes, I have questions about whether or not they can win all the way. But I still think that's far and away the second best team behind Kansas City in the AFC. And I'm sort of intrigued by Pittsburgh, too. I think their defense has been really overhauled over the last couple of years. They've made some additions. I think Fitzpatrick has really helped them a little bit from last year. And right now they're playing at a pretty high level. And offensively, they figure to get better just like the Patriots do as Roethlisberger, gets a little bit more game time under his belt after missing a whole season. So I'm not ready to put the Patriots as the sole number one contender to the Kansas City Chiefs yet. But we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Maz?
I mean, how do you ever look past Belichick? I mean, you can't.
Who's the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC?
It might be the Patriots. It might be.
Yeah, but that's by default.
So this is what I was going to tell you, though.
The Titans are 3-0. Pittsburgh's 3-0 as a
fat quarterback that's going to get hurt.
So let me tell you.
If they play Baltimore tomorrow, who do you think would win?
Kansas City.
The Patriots and Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore.
Yeah, me too. I lean that way, too.
I don't know why we're just dismissing Baltimore.
Well, because they looked horrible in the game the other night. It's recency bias, Paul. That's a pretty basic thing, right?
Here's
what I would tell you. When the Patriots were the best team in the conference and we had the conversation about who's the biggest threat, did it matter?
No.
So this is my only point, is I think it's Kansas City and everybody else now. I think the landscape has changed. Do I give the Pats a shot? Sure. Yeah, because of Bill. No two ways about it. But I will also say what Paul said. When has he stopped Andy Reid? Last year they did, but they lost.
Okay, so this is a good point. When you say stopped him, no, but they have contained him. There was 23 points last year, right?
Yeah.
And
does come with a little bit of an asterisk. I mean, they had 20 points when Mahomes hurt his hand, and it was completely different in the second half because he couldn't throw.
Well, I understand. And, you know, the point totals that they put up in the previous two games were just in a half, you know, so you held them for a half. I haven't seen the Ravens hold them for a quarter, never mind a half like you have.
Correct, yeah.
So, I mean, I think there is a brain power element to there that you just have to consider.
Okay. Absolutely.
If we're going to do it that way, and I'm not denying you, I mean, those are the numbers, but how many points did Kansas City score in the second half Monday night?
I didn't keep
seven?
Track.
Was it seven?
Seven. Now, I would agree with you, Mike. I don't think Baltimore stopped them in the second half, but Kansas City fumbled once.
Yeah.
They went for a fourth down and didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't punt in the second half, but at the end of the day, they only had 7 points. Yeah, I think that they got shut out in the first half of the AFC Championship game. Then they scored 30-something points in the second half.
I think
so. I just don't think you're shutting that team down. And I don't think Belichick has demonstrated the ability to shut Mahomes down yet.
In fact, I'd go so far as to say that I almost think that Bill knows he can't stop him. Like, I half believe that.
Well, but and Maz makes a great point. Andy Reid, it's Alex Smith torched you.
Yeah, for 40-something in that Monday night game or Thursday night game to start the season.
Yeah.
Bill doesn't have an answer for Reid.
Or Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Or whatever.
His disciple, Doug Peterson, with the Eagles, too.
Good one.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is I think the Patriots, and we could all talk about the secondary, right? The Patriots secondary is pretty good. I think we'd all agree. We wouldn't have any arguments about that. But then I look at the individual matchups and I try to figure out which ones I would give the Patriots the edge in. And I don't know how it's going to match up. I don't know if they're even going to play man-to-man. They played a lot of zone against Seattle. I don't know if they'll change things. They have played a lot of man against Mahomes. I mean, Jonathan Jones and Tyreek Hill.
Oh, forget about it.
You know, is it Juwan Williams, who's now doing tight ends? Him on Travis Kelce? I don't really like the individual matchups for the Patriots, maybe beyond Gilmore. If Gilmore is covering Sammy Watkins, but Gilmore hasn't really played all that well so far this year, and Sammy Watkins has had some success against him in the past. So I think the Patriots secondary is really good. I just don't think this is a team that they're better than the guys they're covering.
Yeah, I just think that historically, like most defenses, in fact, all, they struggle when there are a lot of guys to cover. And so you can say, put Gilmore one-on-one and say, okay, you know what, we're going to put Gilmore one-on-one on Watkins. We're going to double Hill. Because the speed is just, nobody can cover him one-on-one. And Hill killed them early on. Remember that?
Yep.
And fine, we're going to try to take Kelce out in some way. How about Edwards-Helaire? How are you going to cover him? Or Mecole Hardman? How are you going to cover him?
Yeah, Hardman had a long touchdown against them in the game last year in Foxborough. They'll just go somewhere else. DeMarcus Robinson is a guy that doesn't really get any attention. He's, you know, he's the fifth guy.
See, that's where Reid gets him.
Mahomes has proven that he'll just go there.
And that's where Philly got them in the Super Bowl. They had too many guys to cover. The Patriots couldn't take them all away, and Reid knows it. I just think it's a tough match for anybody, not just the Patriots. Too many guys to cover.
Okay, I promise. Right to your phones after Murray's update. Here's the latest on the COVID situation in the NFL. There were developments today. Here they are.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mash.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mash.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh,
promise a few calls here with Paul Perillo, Mike, and Saugus. What do you got, Michael? Michael!
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Yes, go.
How you doing? Yeah, I just want to make a comment regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, you look at, yeah, I know they say that they didn't have they don't have their number, they can't beat them, they can't be read. You know, if you look at the play last year and you look at what happened with the tiptoe down the line, I think it was Harry, N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
And he dives into the end zone for the touchdown. They say he was out of bounds. He gets that touchdown. And I know they had no timeouts, but I always was under the assumption that ball breaks up on every touchdown.
Sure.
Reviewable. If they say that's a touchdown, Kansas City loses that game.
All right, Mike, let me just stop you there. Paul, how do you feel about that? That someone who says the Pats actually had him beat last year, but the refs screwed him.
Well, the refs definitely screwed him on that play. It was clear cut. It was a touchdown, no question. But they lost the game by 7, so give them 4 more points.
Still doesn't get there, does it?
Yeah, now that changes the whole game. I get that. Instead of being, I think they were down 10 at the time and they kicked the field goal to get within 7. So, you know, you get within, you know, 4 instead. It changes that. I mean, 3. It changes things. No question. The way the game unfolded may have been different, but I think it's a stretch to say if that play is called a touchdown, the Patriots win.
Yeah.
It's not that simple.
That's a dumb hypothetical. If Dee Ford wasn't offsides, well, then Brady's right. Interception holds, and we're talking about the Chiefs as back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Paul, going back to the first segment on Cam Newton.
Can't wait.
Well, you said he couldn't throw or run in that game against Vegas, so are you against the thought of giving him an extension right now?
I don't think I said he couldn't do those things.
No,
I said he didn't play well. He didn't do a good job throwing or running in that game.
So he can't run or throw. Are you against the thought of giving him an extension right now?
No, I've been against giving him an extension right now from the start. And to be honest with you, if I were Cam Newton, I'd be very much against even talking about getting an extension right now. I think that, you know, for the player, you want to maximize your marketability. And I think what you want to do if you're Cam Newton is play 16 games, play at a high level over the balance of all 16, show everybody that you're healthy, show everybody that you can win games, and then sell yourself to the highest bidder. I think you'd be selling yourself short if you signed something now after 3 games.
How about John in Providence? He's got a thought for Paul Perillo on Patriots Chiefs. Go ahead, John.
Here's my thought. They should put Stephon Gilmore on Kelce because that worked last year with Ertz. They should match him up with the fastest guys, and they should go all defensive backs and force Kansas City to run. And I think they will win on Sunday if they do that.
Okay. So, again,
I think there's a chance that they could use Gilmore like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind that idea.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, Juwan Williams, is a guy that they've been trying to use on tight ends, and he didn't play that much the other day. I thought he did a decent job against Gesicki, but I also think he gets a lot of penalties. And, you know, you look at some different guys, some different options, and Gilmore is one of them on tight ends. I think J.C. Jackson is another guy who's kind of physical. Maybe he goes over and plays Sammy Watkins. But I just don't think you have enough answers. You're going to double team Tyreek Hill because he killed you so much in the past.
Correct.
So then who comes on, you know, Hardman and, you know, prevents him from getting down the field? And yeah, I agree. I think Bill Belichick wants them to run the ball. I think he would love this to be like a 1990 Super Bowl against Buffalo with the Giants and have Thurman Thomas be all over the place, you know, running for all kinds of yards. But in turn, it's keeping the point total down. But I just don't know if that's going to work against Andy Reid. They score so quickly. I don't think they need the ball for 40 minutes to put 40 points on the board. They can do that in 20 as well.
Well, see, so that's the problem in Kansas City is that you say, okay, well, then you force him to the fifth option. That guy can fly. Like, so now a 6-yard pass turns into a 30-yard game. You know, if you remember in the AFC Championship game, you know what happened in the second half? They started throwing at Damian Williams. Is that his name? Yep. Damian Williams, yeah. Right? Yeah, the running back.
Yeah, the backup running back.
Right, because what's his name is already up by then.
Is excellent out of the backfield.
But this is my point. And then what happened?
You start again.
Right, and you get these chunk plays with Kansas City because they're so damn fast that now even with their fifth guy, they have a favorable matchup. But just to jump back a couple of calls ago, nobody is saying they can't win.
No.
Nobody's saying that. I'm just telling you, Kansas City's a hard matchup for anybody. And even in the years the Patriots won, they outscored them. Mahomes is only 1-2 against Belichick. So, you know, it's not like they've lost every time they've played him. And Kansas City has scored in those games. You've been able to outscore him.
So the question, right, Paul, is if you do have to throw to win, do you think you can do it? What's your confidence level in this Patriots team throwing? Did the Seattle game tell you they can do it?
Yeah, no, I still don't have a lot of faith in the passing game. I don't think conventionally the passing game is there yet. Now, it might be down the road, but I still think that Newton looks a little uncomfortable. I thought he looked unsettled at times throughout the game passing the other day, and especially early on when it was a lot of third and longs because the running game didn't get going early. And I think Newton was forced to throw the ball, you know, third and nines, third and eights. And, you know, he's scrambling around. He's buying time and making bad decisions. I thought he got away. He threw the one interception to Abram there, but I thought he could have thrown three or four picks in that game easy. There were a few passes that the Raiders got their hands on first. And I'm not just talking about a pass batted at the line of scrimmage. I'm talking about throwing into some significant coverage. And he got away with it. Now, it may have just been a bad game for Cam, and he'll bounce right back, and the passing game will look better. But I need to see it on a more consistent basis, on a conventional basis, before I'm willing to say this is what the Patriots passing offense is.
What did you see from him specifically on that, Paul? Was it the vaunted mechanics that I was pumping up the week before, given all the good coaching that Belichick had given him? Was he just uncomfortable? Did the Raiders do something?
Now, I'd be less than honest, Mike, if I wasn't thinking to myself, Felger, what'd you think of the mechanics?
I just called that a preemptive strike right there. That was
yeah, no, I wasn't going to say anything about it. But I do think that, you know, he still tends to fall into some of those things. I still see him throw more passes, and I don't really know how to describe it other than he throws a lot of passes with his feet parallel to the line. Like his hips are completely wide open,
yeah,
and he just sort of lets it go all arm. And what I think that Bill and Josh have really done with him is gotten him on schedule a lot more often, a lot more frequently. Like, this is the play. These are your reads. If you make these reads on time, this is where you're going to go with the ball, and the ball's coming out. It's when he sort of, you know, has to look around and maybe is getting fooled a little bit pre-snap and maybe a little bit slower making those decisions and those reads. I think his mechanics tend to fall back to his old habits, and he's just so physically gifted. He can get away with it. I mean, you want to talk about bad mechanics. Watch Mahomes a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Watch some of the angles that he throws from. So it's not just, I'm not just saying like you can't play because you have bad mechanics. Those two guys are so ridiculously gifted physically that they get away with a lot of stuff that most guys can't.
Do you think Kansas City's success against Lamar Jackson gives them a leg up on Cam Newton in the running situation, that they're comfortable against the running quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know, because I do think they're two totally different kinds of guys. I'd be curious to see how the Chiefs attack it this week, especially with all the perimeter success the Patriots had last week against the Raiders. But, you know, to me, Lamar Jackson is just so fast, and that's the challenge in dealing with him, whereas Newton is much more power. Now, Newton can run, too. He's fast, but not like Lamar Jackson fast. He's more of a power guy. Interesting, I think, you know, don't know what you guys have felt, but I think we've seen less of the design runs for Newton as we've gone along here. After all of those design runs in the first game, I think you've seen them go in the other direction with that, and I have to think that's by design.
I mean, I was just looking up just out of curiosity. Kansas City's allowed 5.3 a rush.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You look at that game the other night. I thought they dominated Baltimore's ground game the other night, but you look at the numbers, and I think the Ravens rushed for 158 yards and 7.5 yards a carry. So those will kill your numbers in the stats department, but I don't think Baltimore ran the ball very well after that first drive the other night.
Yeah, and Kansas City was in complete control of the game, right? So, again, it's almost like you want to run, go ahead. We're already up by two touchdowns. Now what are you going to do? So they got to get the lead early and then, you know, to just slow the game down. But I just think it's a hard thing to do against Kansas City.
Okay, final thoughts with Paul Perillo on the Patriots, Chiefs, and whatever you want. You can chime into it, 617-779-0985. And our long commercial-free segment next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
With as explosive as the Chiefs offense can be, is ball control and just kind of playing keep away, is that important for you guys this week?
Well, so it's not as important as scoring points. So then ultimately, the game's going to be decided by, you know, which team has the most points, not who has more first downs or who has more time in possession or, you know, whatever the stat you want. So, you know, all that plays into it. You know, scoring is really the name of the game. So, you know, our goal is to move the ball and score points offensively, same as it is every week. If that's a long drive or a short drive or, you know, whatever it is, then that's, you know, that's really what we need to do. Defensively, we have to play defense. We're going to be out there on defense, but that's, you know, after a short drive or a long drive or what the field position is, you really can't control that. You know, defensively, wherever they get the ball, they get it. And it's our job to go out there and stop them. So that's what we're going to prepare to do.
Belichick today reiterating it's about points, not time of possession or first downs. Is that a giveaway there, Paul, about how they're going to approach us?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's, you know, in the business of giving away his entire game plan, but I have to think that he feels like the best way to keep the points down is by limiting possessions and shortening the game. And my favorite part of that quote was, you know, on defense, we're going to have to play defense.
That's good insight there.
Which was sort of in the middle of that. And I obviously know what he meant. I'm just, you know, being funny, but yeah, I have to think that that's part of the game plan. And you look at the way that they've gone about business the first three games, even in Seattle, they had to throw the ball a lot in Seattle. But that was not by design. They started off that game trying to establish the run. They couldn't do it. They eventually fell behind, and they had a throw in the fourth quarter. But the other two games, you know, you had 200-plus yards on the ground, and I think that's ultimately the way they would like to try to play this game if they could.
So Maz was just looking up a interesting box score that, you know, maybe you all remember. 2008, the Matt Castle year, Patriots at Colts. Remember how they slowed that game down?
Totally.
I mean, is that
18-15.
Is that what you think Bill's looking at in this game? Even though when we looked at it, the time of possession was like 35-25, which is, you know, that's big, but it's not like, you know, epic.
Yeah, the key that night was field goals, red zone defense. And that's always, you know, it's a different way to keep the score down, right? You know, if you're allowing three instead of seven, I think the Colts got all field goals that night, if I'm not mistaken.
No, they had some touchdowns, Paul. There's a two-point conversion in there, yeah.
It was a conversion? Okay. Yeah. But, you know, that's a big thing, too, and it's another thing that's sort of dangerous with the Chiefs because they're so good in the red zone. And, you know they're throwing – would you guys call the shovel pass?
They're feeding the stuff in the sausage.
No. It was
sausage. Yeah.
It was a surprise sausage, Paul, which you never
I
want.
Mean,
you want warning before they give
admit,
you that one.
You know, we've watched a million of these games, right, the three of us. when have you ever seen a guy throw a pass like that? I mean,
I think it's silly. I think half of Andy Reid's stuff is just silly. It's just window
just
dressing.
Because I can?
Yeah, I mean, it's like they've got the best receivers, the best tight end, now a great running back, the best quarterback. I think if he just lined up and ran the play, they'd be fine too. But instead, it's all this dipsy-do. It's silly. Like, did they need to shovel the sausage right there? Or did they just line up and hand the ball off?
But sometimes on the red zone, you know, the windows get smaller and it gets a little bit more congested. You find different ways to get in. I mean, a shovel pass in the red zone is not necessarily a
well, Reid loves that play.
He does. Yeah, he does.
I think the underhand toss was what made it a little bit silly, to use your word.
Well, yeah. They were disguising it. They were hiding the sausage.
Yeah, it's like they have three amazing receivers. They got the best tight end in the game. They got this great new rookie running back who does it all. So let's throw it to the tackle. Let's say, okay, like, fine. Here's Tyler and Milton. Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, I just want to make a point regarding Pat Mahomes. I feel like, personally, Bill Belichick has – schemed well against Pat Mahomes. Look at that 2018 regular season game. We held him to 9 points. He threw two picks. Look at the AFC Championship first half. We had him embarrassed the whole first half. So I'm not so much worried about Belichick scheming a plan against Pat Mahomes. I'm also worried about the individual matchup that we have at stake on the defense.
2018 game, they scored how many points?
Go ahead, Mass. Just go.
Are you asinine or what?
And let's ignore that second half of the AFC
Championship. They scored
40
in that game and 31 in the AFC Championship.
The Patriots won the game 43-40.
No, they made him look stupid, I think the caller said.
Mahomes' career passer rating against the Patriots is like over 100. I mean, he's, you know, the two games in that year, 2018, they scored 62 points in the second half. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he's overrated.
Yeah, and I recognize there have been times that the Patriots have had some success in small pockets, but we're talking about for the entirety of the game. You know, the best that they did was the 23 points. And like I said, I do think that whatever that hand problem that Mahomes had late in the first half, I think impacted that game in the second half.
And he was also coming back from the knee thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He was, I think it was like his second game back. But, you know, they scored 20 points in the first half of that game. It looked like business as usual. And then all of a sudden, remember, he was going to the sideline holding his hand. And I don't think he was the same guy in the second half.
I mean, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Now we're going to minimize this guy, too, of all the people?
Oh, of course. You know
like,
how this goes.
Oh, that's good. Get him good and pissed off so they can send the sound down there. And then you know what's going to happen on Sunday? They're going to play Hide the Sausage with you in Kansas City. That's what they're going to play. It's like, seriously. Oh, God, that's just idiotic. 62 points in the second halves of those two games in 18.
But 62 only scored 9 in the first half, so that's the only thing that counts.
Holy crap. Look, they're explosive. They are an explosive offense. They're the best offense in the league. And if they were here, you'd be covering yourself in Crisco for crying out loud.
So this is, look, the Belichickites are out like this, even though Mahomes has pantsed you. What happens if you win on Sunday?
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm driving. For the anti-Belichickites, like Murray and Perlo, like these guys, oh, my God. Don't let the Patriots win this Sunday, Murray. Don't let it happen.
Do you think in Houston they look at that playoff that game and they say, well, you know, Bill O'Brien, I mean, he shut him down for like a quarter and a half. We're up 24-0.
Yeah, 24-7 on his own 30-yard line. He faked a punt.
I don't think anybody looks at that as saying like he shut him down for a quarter and a half. No, they look at it as, you know, Kansas City did their normal thing. It took them a little while to get going. And then once they did, they were unstoppable.
Yeah, you know why Bill gave up 62 to Mahomes in those two games? He was setting him up for this one.
It's a long con.
He knew it was coming. He was going to need it when Brady was gone.
Let's do one more quick call. Rich just jumped on from Quincy. Go ahead, Rich. What do you got?
I was just wondering, I love having Cam Newton here, but the only thing that I notice is that every time he throws a rope. He doesn't put any air under the ball at all. So he never tries to throw it up and over someone into someone's hand. He tries to throw it through him.
I think there's a lot of that, Rich, but at Seattle, he dropped some balls in there. He dropped some balls over the defender into the bucket, but I would say he doesn't have exceptional touch, and that's, you know, I think that's been the balance of his career. But I don't know. I understand Seattle sucks, and their defense has given up a ton of throwing yards. That Seattle game should have showed you, if the Pats have to, that maybe it's there, Paul. Just maybe it's there.
Yeah, I just think that the Seattle defense has showed you that if you want to throw against us, you can. It's there. All three games. 450+. All three games.
Is the Kansas City defense better than Seattle's now?
I think it is, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Spagnuolo's done a good job there.
Defense is great, but Seattle's is the worst in football.
I would look, Kansas City's defense prior to the middle of last year, I would say, was
a train wreck.
It took a while. Spagnuolo got there, changed some things around, and it took him a while to sort of settle in, and they were much better in the second half. Now, they're also without some cornerbacks in this game. I think the kid Snead broke his collarbone Monday night, and I think Ward broke his wrist in the opener, was active Monday night, but I didn't really remember seeing him out there very much. And they have the other kid, Breland, I think, is still on suspension. So he's got to sit out the last of his four-game suspension. So they're missing some pieces in the secondary. I still think they have some talent back there. I think Matthew is a pretty good player and has played well against the Patriots. But it's not a great defense, Mike, but I think it's better than you think it is.
To me, they've got just two really well-positioned studs. One is Chris Jones, who's a monster. And the other one's a safety, Matthew.
Yeah.
And I mean, they got really good players in a couple of key spots.
Frank Clark is pretty good, too.
Yeah. I mean, but, they don't have to be great with that offense. They just have to be pretty good.
Like decent. Basketball, get one stop.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be enough. Yeah.
That's how they go about it, Mike.
That's how a lot of the league does. I'm sorry.
See if we can break your serve, and then we win.
Totally. it's just like that. It's like a lacrosse game. It's like make one save and you win 18-17. That's so I feel like so many of these defenses are in this league nowadays. All right, Paul, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
See you, Paulie.
All right,
later,
guys.
Paul.
See you next week.
Paul Perillo, no acrimony this week. Just nice. Sunshine.com. Then next week, maybe we'll get some, if the Pats win. Then
it'll be salty.
Then the acrimony comes back up.
Will it ever?
Oh, so that's... For our purposes, that would be great. Let's do a quick update here from Murray, the very latest of what's going on today in the NFL. There is breaking news today in the NFL. The schedule's starting to get altered because of COVID. I want to pick that up on the other side as well with your calls at 617-779-0985.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to $16,000 off MSRP. You heard right. Not $10,000 or $12,000. We're talking $16,000 off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.bestford.com/special event disclosures for full details.